2, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. Keith's being a gamer, fighting through it.
Fighting it through. You know me.
Still with us.
Yep.
Speaking of gamers.
Yes.
Patriots take on the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday. 425 right. game in Pittsburgh, a place where they traditionally play very, very well.
Dominate.
Now, the question is, who will be at quarterback for the Steelers? So, Mike Tomlin,
well,
meeting with the media today, said Ben Roethlisberger received, and Ed Bouchette, who wrote this, has this in quotation.
All right.
Ben Roethlisberger received treatment for his rib injury at halftime. It was a pain-killing shot. This is Tomlin talking now. The reason he did not enter the game against the Raiders after he came to the sideline, because it takes painkillers some time to kick in. The Steelers had to make sure he was okay, says Mike Tomlin. Except supposedly there are some sports doctors out there who say, no, that's not exactly true.
Oh, boy.
David Chow, who...
Internet doctor.
Internet doctor. Pro Football Doc is his Twitter handle.
Well, it's a little presumptuous.
He was asked, how long would a painkilling shot take to kick in?
Yeah.
Assuming Ben got one at the start of halftime, which according to Tomlin, he did.
Yeah. What's the timetable?
Pro Football Doc says short-acting local numbing injection would be minutes.
Minutes.
Long-acting local numbing injection would be 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Systemic injection might take 15 minutes.
15.
Oral medications might take 30 minutes.
Oral?
Now, Tomlin already said he got a shot.
Okay. So throw that out, Doc.
Well,
it
either means Tomlin's not telling the truth that he got a shot.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Or it was worse than that.
Roethlisberger is always hurt. Roethlisberger always is hurt. He always wants everybody to know he's hurt. He leaves every single game in a walking boot. He's always hobbling around. He is always getting off the field really slowly. He does take a lot of hits, but it's what you come to expect with Roethlisberger. He's going to play. Of course he's going to play on Sunday. But he's going to ham it up, and he's going to be injured. He's going to be on the injury report, I'm sure, this week, limited with a rib injury and all that other stuff. But he'll be out there. I don't think anybody doubts that he'll be out there.
The question is, how badly is he hurt? And, you know, he came
on
back.
On the Roethlisberger scale or in the real-world scale?
On the real-world scale.
He's probably – everybody's hurt
ribs
now.
Ribs has got to be a little tough to
– ribs is going to be annoying, that's for sure.
He'll have some flak jacket on, which will make him look even chunkier than he already looks.
Yeah, he's got that fat face, just like me. You know what that's like, Ben.
It's not your fault, Ben.
Nope. It's genetics.
That's what it is.
And diet. I think it's specifically more diet. But he's gonna play. They're a mess right now. They've lost 3 straight games. Broncos, Chargers, Raiders.
Yeesh.
They lost to the Raiders. And this was a team that started the year 1-2-1. Remember, they tied the Browns right out of the gate, and then they lost to the Chiefs, they lost to the Ravens, and they had a win over the Bucks. But they had a nice winning streak in the middle of the season, but now they are in real jeopardy of missing the playoffs. Forget winning the division. They have the Patriots this week, and then they're at the Saints. Like, they may miss the playoffs, the Steelers. So all this stuff about, well, apparently they didn't need Le'Veon Bell. No, I think they did. I think they did. Now, last week they didn't have James Conner either, and that really hurt them. Connor has been good, but give me a break. Le'Veon Bell's still a great, great player. And that would be amazing to see Mike Tomlin and Roethlisberger. Like, a win for the Patriots not only keeps them in line to have a first-round bye, but it could potentially help knock the Steelers out of the playoffs. Oh, it's even sweeter.
So Tom Brady in his career against the Steelers, regular season and playoffs combined, is 11-2-0.
Pretty good. No ties.
No ties.
Yeah.
He's 8-2 in the regular season. He's 3-0. During the playoffs, he always plays great. Some of these things, when you look at it, just blow your mind when you look at his numbers against the Steelers.
Jeremy Fowler, who writes for ESPN, he has this one. In the last 8 games, Tom Brady has played versus Pittsburgh.
Which, by the way, is the Mike Tomlin era.
Yes,
he's
okay.
Played
so good
8 games
out.
Against Tomlin.
He is 7-1. Brady has 23 touchdowns, 1 interception. A QBR of 89.1, which is the best of any quarterback against a single opponent since 2006 with a minimum 5 games.
And
Think about that.
And like, his completion percentage against the Tomlin teams is 70.8.
And so why is it going to be different? Why is that going to be different? Much like the Patriots go down to Miami and it's tough. It's a tough game and they lose more often than not down in Miami. The Patriots always beat the Steelers regardless of where the game is. And it's also, it's not like Pittsburgh is this home team. Like they're a wagon at home. I think they're 3-3 at home. Now, Roethlisberger's numbers are better there than they are on the road. But still, they don't blow teams. It's not like this is an unbelievable advantage. I think Gillette is more of an advantage than Heinz Field is. At least it has been this year. But
I was going to say, the Patriots do stink on the road,
they do.
Too.
They do. They stink on the road. So something has to give. Is it their road woes, or is it them dominating Pittsburgh? Like, did the Steelers find a way to get a win? I don't think so. Because, by the way, the Steelers are going the wrong way. They lost to the Raiders. Like, give me a break. That's not a very good team. I don't think their defense is great. They have the best receiver in football. They have another really good receiver. They might have a good running back, but he may not even play. And then they have Roethlisberger out there limping around with his ribs. So, I think the Patriots, I know it's only Tuesday, but I think the Patriots go in there and get a win.
You've got a Patriots team coming off a gut-wrenching loss. And generally speaking, they respond fairly well in those situations. You know, it's probably not a fun week down there. It's,
no.
You know, and you could almost see them saying, we're not going through this again.
Well, they lost back-to-back games this year, which we thought was rare enough.
Yeah.
But then the way they responded to the Detroit game, they went out there and smoked the Dolphins. Then the Tennessee game, now they had the bye after that, but they followed that up with a couple of wins. So you would think it would be similar to that. But it's a huge game for both teams. Like, it's not one of those where, well, one team is playing for, you know, seeding and the other one's out of it. Or the other one's kind of, you know, doesn't. It's a monster game for both. Because what a loss would mean for the Patriots, they might have to play wild card weekend, or they might likely have to play wild card weekend. And then I just got through saying how the Steelers might just miss the playoffs altogether with a couple of losses here.
So Ben, unfortunately, has had to play against Brady for much of this. But he has played 9 games against the Patriots in his career. He's 3-6 in the regular season, 0-2 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So 3-8 in his career, and, you know, the numbers aren't great either.
No. And he's been throwing a bunch of picks this year. He's got 13 interceptions on the season. And I think it was last week we were playing the cuts of him saying, you know, that's okay. Like, you know, I got to take chances and blah, 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 blah. But 13 interceptions is not a good number.
And assuming that he's at least uncomfortable, I'll agree with you. He's probably going to play, you know, he'll be playing under some sort of medication. They'll give him the shot early enough so that it has time to kick in, I guess.
Got to give him 15 minutes there, Doc.
Give him 10, 15 minutes so that he's ready to go. You know, he will be out there under some limitation, probably not going to run around much.
No, but he's still elusive. Like, he's such a big dude.
He's just hard to get down.
He is. He's hard to tackle, so you can't just get in there and get a finger on him and he's going to go down. Like, that's not the case. And he's still, I mean, he's been probably hurt all season long. He's on pace to throw, like, 5,200 yards or whatever. You know, they chuck the ball all over the place. So it's going to be a real challenge for Patriots secondary, which has been pretty good for the most part. But for those guys having to, you know, Kenny Stills had a monster game against them. So you can really only imagine Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Which, by the way, think about that from a Patriots perspective. I mean, you've got Stephon Gilmore, who's as good a cover corner as there is in the league this year.
Until Bryce Butler's on the other side.
Then all of a sudden it's,
what was that?
What do we got going here?
Yeah, he is. I mean, because that's such a tough position that everybody gets torched. Like, the best corners in the league get torched. But Gilmore's had a few instances where, and again, it's not necessarily fair because we watch every single play of Gilmore. We don't watch every single play of everybody else. But, like, do you think Gilmore's the best corner in football? Like, my thought would be no, he's not. But the numbers sort of pointed out, and maybe everybody else, it's just so hard to play that position now that I guess he does as good a job as anybody. Then again, you would think he'd be able to, you know, keep Bryce Butler out of the end zone, but
The other problem here, obviously, is that you've got a Patriots defense that we think is less than stellar. You don't have the same running attack to worry about because Le'Veon Bell's not there. But we think James Conner's going to try to play this weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be the wild card. Like, if he plays and he's as effective as he was earlier on, he could carve up the Patriots. I mean, if Frank Gore's going to do it and all these other running backs are going to do it against the Patriots, then he could too. But if he's hurt and they got to go to their backups, you got to see Steven Ridley again. I mean, that was one of the guys they were giving carries to last week. So that wouldn't scare you. You should be fine against him. But if Connor plays and is good, then, yeah, that could be a tough afternoon.
617-779-7937. Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Yeah, this is regards to Pedroia.
Sure.
I mean, I think there's pretty much a 0% chance that they're seeing him as the everyday second baseman. What you're probably going to see is kind of him playing out there about half the time. Then about a quarter of the games, probably against left-handed pitching when they can. We can put JD in the outfield. He'll DH. And then they'll rest him a quarter of the time. Because it's nagging injuries what oftentimes take guys down in baseball. This guy, he just, you know, I think they want him for the postseason. And I think that they'll figure, you know, half of the time if he's out there that, you know, Nunez, if he comes back and Holt can take the rest of it, there'll be no big deal. And he'll still have his bat in the lineup. And they'd rather have 75% of Dustin Pedroia than 0% because they just overused him and then he's out again.
Yeah, I mean, I know he thinks that once he's healthy, he's ready to go and put me in, coach. I'm sure they're going to feel like they have to manage him much more than they have in the
past.
Yeah,
but they're in a good position where they don't need him. They just won the World Series without him. So it's not like, oh my God, hopefully he's good to go. Like, whatever you get from him, isn't it just a bonus? Because you have Nunez, you have Brock Holt. Even if each of those guys play 80 games, it's not the end of the world. Like, they're in a great spot where if he's not ready to go in April, fine. You know, have him start in May or whatever it is. And whatever he can give you good, but you're not relying on it. Like, whether or not they win the division is going to have nothing to do with Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah, see, I think that, well, I don't want to say nothing. Because if he comes back, he's going to come back and play. In other words, if he's hurt, you're right. He's going to have nothing to do with it. But if he's healthy, he's going to be your second baseman almost all the time.
But I would wonder if 2019 Dustin Pedroia, how much better is he than Holt or Nunez? I don't think much. So that's why I think you're going to get whatever you get from second base. Like, as long as it's not the worst output in the American League, then you'll take it, because you're going to have plus at every other position, really, with the exception of catcher. You know, you look at the outfield, you're better than everybody. First base platoon, maybe not better than everybody, but you're actually in a pretty good spot. Shortstop, third base, DH. Like, you got it covered where you're not relying on that position to really help you out too much at the plate.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll talk to Patriots Hall of Famer Willie McGinest coming up next. Noon 30, we'll have Kiefer Madness. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale.
Dropping deuces right in front of you.
And Keefe.
TV, movies, video games, beer, and my dog. It's all I need.
On WEEI.
7 seconds left. Tannehill will throw it. And this will end it after the shovel. Or will it? Miami running around. Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle! Miraculous in Miami!
It is time for our regular weekly conversation with Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinest. Willie is brought to you by Barmakian Jewelers and Town Fair Tire. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter, as we do, at Willie McGinest. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
We're doing fine, thank you. Not that it happened a lot in your tenure with the Patriots, but when you have a gut-wrenching loss like the Patriots did on Sunday, how does Bill Belichick handle it come Monday?
Well, you got to address it. I mean, you definitely got to point out all the mistakes and things that's adjustable in the meeting with everybody. It's week 14, and you want to be playing better football, especially since the playoffs are around the corner. So you got to address it, go through all the issues, and after that, you got to find a way to move on. You know, as far as players, the one thing we want to do is definitely move on and get the next game here as soon as possible, just to race and get back on track.
What did you think of the decision to have Rob Gronkowski on the field for the final play?
Well, that's the coach's decision. I mean, I don't know what package that is. I was kind of confused because it wasn't last play or Hail Mary. It was more of a desperado play. So I would have had somebody probably more defensively athletic in on that play. But like I said, I don't know the packages. I don't know the personnel groups they have for that play. was a little different or odd to see, Gronk in there. But, you know, when you're in there, you got to do exactly what they ask of you. You got to make a play. And, a lot of parts of that play broke down before it got to that point.
Now, I guess what's confusing to me, because I thought it was a terrible decision to have Gronk out there, but the other part was they took Devin McCourty off the field, and I feel like if anybody should be on the field, it would be a guy who plays free safety as well as anybody in the league.
Yeah, I know you usually substitute one guy for a jumper, but in that case, like I mentioned, it wasn't the Hail Mary last play type of play, so I agree. You want to have your best defensive guys out there, your most athletic guys. And even if it's a jumper that you're substituting, make sure they're athletic enough to execute the play.
What is it about the Patriots playing in Miami? Why have they had such a problem there, really, even going back to your days?
I have no clue. I mean, there could be a lot of distractions going to Miami. And, you know, sometimes guys get unfocused, but that wasn't one of the places. Us knowing that, we made sure that we were really, in tune with one another. And everybody was on the same page as far as what we needed to do, knowing that we struggled when we went there. So a lot of talk, a lot of conversation about that prior to the game. Just don't understand why things break down and why the technique and everything pretty much went out the door in that football game.
Now, I don't think a lot of people would have predicted that the Patriots-Steelers game, both teams would be coming off losses, especially with the Steelers facing the Raiders this past week. What have you seen out of Pittsburgh the last couple of weeks? It looked like they had the division all locked up. Now, I mean, the way things are going, they may even miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching the Steelers, and I mentioned on air that it's been some undisciplined football, you know, that's going on. And a lot of the problems with the Steelers are self-inflicted, you know, penalties, giving up special team plays, not making in-game adjustments. You know, a lot of players playing bad technique, mental errors. It has more to do with what they're not doing versus what, you know, teams are doing to them.
What do you think about Mike Tomlin as the head coach?
I like Mike. I think Mike does a fantastic job. I think he's in a situation where he's handling a lot of egos and a lot of different personalities, which makes it tough. And you can see the frustration sometimes in him when he talks about it, because I know that's not with that staff coaches. And I know that they expect better. And for some reason, some guys in that locker room are not being accountable and, you know, are not going out and executing and playing the way that they're coached to play. And it's frustrating when that happens.
What do you think's the better job that'll be available this offseason? Do you think it's the Cleveland Browns or the Green Bay Packers?
You know, that's tough. It just depends. I think both are really good jobs. With Cleveland, you got a young team, young quarterback that you can go in with a lot of talent established and build. On paper, you know, this team is really, really talented. It's a team that is eager to want to win and learn after being there in camp and understanding. And I think in Green Bay, you got a young group of men outside of certain positions, but the one position that, you know, is a little older is one of the best in the league at the quarterback position. So it's a place with a lot of history, tradition, and when you look at the secondary, when you look at the receivers in Green Bay, a young group as well. So I think it's both are really, really promising jobs with the talented roster that it's going to take the right coach to go in and lead and make the decisions. and compete. I think with both teams, they're able to compete. Just a little different, a little younger at the quarterback position versus one.
After what happened last year with Indianapolis, many people thought Josh McDaniels might not get another opportunity to be a head coach. Do you think there will be teams trying to lure Josh away from New England this offseason?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, he made a decision, you know, not to go to Indianapolis based on a lot of different things. And I think when you're a coach and you're used to a certain environment and, you know, coaching a certain way and having certain resources and freedoms and, you know, from the ownership all the way down, you're looking for the perfect situation if you're going to leave New England. I think right now, New England is the right situation unless something comes along that mirrors that. You know, where a coach has the latitude to work with the GM, have the power of the 53-man roster or the say, and is able to go in and coach and make maneuver the way he needs to maneuver from top to bottom.
Who do you think right now is the best team in the AFC?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Kansas City, right? They're the number one seed. They got the best record, and they're winning football games. I think it's seeded accordingly to how you see it, with the Patriots right there at number two and the Texans and, you know, all the other teams that are lined up. Like I mentioned earlier, it's week 14. Got to play mistake-free football. I mean, even though it's not perfect, but you want to be heading into the end of the season playing a certain way. And when you look at the playoff picture of what it is now, I think it's exactly how things are unfolding.
Willie, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That is Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. We'll get back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30
yes,
today.
Yes, we do.
Is it like the greatest Kiefer Madness in the history?
No, you oversold last week.
No.
You oversold it.
I just repeated what our producer...
Oh, you both oversold it then.
Okay, well, we'll
people
have
upset.
A sort of good Kiefer Madness coming
it'll
up.
It'll be fine.
12:30. It'll be fine?
It's going to be fine.
What we're going with is
it's gonna be
fine.
Set the bar low.
That's like when you ask your wife how she's doing, and she says, fine. But that's not the answer.
No, she's not doing great.
No. What you're looking for. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
It's Middays with Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So we were really busy yesterday with, you know, the whole loss in Miami thing, and we didn't get an opportunity to touch on something yesterday, which, as I'm walking by a TV yesterday morning, I see Rex Ryan is on Get Up with Mike Greenberg. And he says something almost matter-of-factly, almost off the cuff, so much so that Greenberg just let it go right past him.
Must have not been in the script.
Maybe they didn't prepare for this. It might not have been in the script. Now, Pro Football Talk picked up on it. They wrote about it yesterday. But when I heard what Rex said, I went, wait. Let's not bury the lead here.
So the perfect Patriots, guess what? Not today, man. I don't know what happened, you know. And then at the end of the game, I'm sorry, but if this is any other coach in the NFL and they put an offensive player like Gronkowski, as stiff as he is, to be the last man, you know, on the field, they would be getting crucified. He'd be getting killed. And guess what? You know what? I'll probably get back into football next year. And I don't care if I make everybody, you know, mad at me or whatever. I could care less. This is a huge mistake.
Well, I'm sorry. What was that, sir?
Yeah.
So Rex is back in now?
Well, that's...
And I don't care.
Is he breaking that news?
Yes.
Is he? So he just broke that news while criticizing Belichick. He said, I don't care, but I'm going to be in football next year. And then they just kind of moved on
from
that?
In other words...
There was no follow-up to that?
No.
And guess what? You know what? I'll probably get back into football next year.
Well, hold on. I'm probably getting back into football next year.
Now, does that sound like he's had discussions with teams?
Sounds
perhaps?
Like his ESPN contract is up. Sounds like, well, maybe. I think I probably need to get into football. Because, as an aside, is Rex Ryan the type of head coach you would want in today's NFL? Give me the offensive guys. Give me offense. I don't need a guy that has been in a couple of places, started a house of fire with the Jets. You can't dismiss what he did at the beginning with the Jets. The end, not so much.
It burned pretty quickly.
Was not great at the end. And then Buffalo, that didn't work out either. So you're going to give a guy a third chance where he's a defensive-minded guy who hasn't been able to figure out quarterbacks? I don't think so.
Now, it's possible that he's just talking about being a defensive coordinator somewhere or a defensive coach somewhere. I have a hard time picturing him getting another head coaching job. But
I would be surprised by that. Now, NFL teams aren't super creative, and they definitely bring guys back. They definitely, a lot of retread coaches in the NFL, so maybe he would get a shot. He would actually, would this make sense? If you found another, now I know there's not like a whole bunch of Sean McVays, but like Sean McVay, Matt Nagy, like a guy who had never been a head coach, is an offensive mind. He goes to a team and then brings Rex as his defensive coordinator?
Possible.
Because I think if Rex wants to be a defensive
coordinator. I think he's overrated, by the way. I mean, as a defensive coordinator, way overrated as a head coach.
Yeah, but those Jets teams were really good defensively. Those early on Jets teams, I mean, they went to the AFC Championship game back-to-back years. So, I mean, you got to give him credit for that. I think his problem is now you're the head coach, and even though you're a defensive mind, you're going to be tied in with the quarterback. And if you can't develop a quarterback and get him going, then that's going to fall onto you. So if his only if his responsibility is solely defense, then I think I would give him a shot. I mean, look at Wade Phillips, even Greg Williams. Like those guys, there's still a place for them in the NFL. It's just not as a head coach. So I would take him as my D coordinator.
Now, let's assume for the sake of our argument that it's not that his contract is up. Let's set that aside
yes,
for a moment.
He's going to go coach.
So doesn't it almost sound as though people have already reached out to him? Do you say that on national TV if nobody said a word to you? And you just say, yeah, I'm probably going to be back in football next year.
Well, a normal person or Rex Ryan?
Yeah, that's a good
point. Because Rex Ryan may say that no matter what. But no, I bet somebody has reached out to him. Like, think about like what John Gruden. I'm sure every year the Raiders called him. And we're like, hey, what about this year? What about this year? I'm sure for a while, I bet it's run out now. But don't you think Bill Cowher probably got offers or at least, hey, please call us, give us a call for years while he was doing TV?
But do you think Rex is getting any of those?
Maybe just for a coordinator. Maybe. And I think when he went from, isn't it a smoother transition to go, he goes from head coach of the Jets, head coach to the Bills, TV, then defensive coordinator, rather than being a head coach, and then a D coordinator? Because that seems like a big step back. This seems like, all right, now he's getting back into the league this way. And with the amount of money that some coordinators get, I mean, might not be that all that bad of a deal. Unless, or do you think his ego is too much where he's like, I can't not be the top guy?
I'll probably get back into football next year.
Yeah. He may have a hard time listening to somebody, you think?
Do you believe that he'd be willing to take that ego bump and you know, just go back and be a coordinator after being a head coach twice?
It would have to be for a very specific person. I don't know who that is. I don't know what his relationships are like with some of the younger coaches around the league or who he knows. It couldn't just be for anybody. Like, I don't think he would want to be Josh McDaniels' side guy.
Is it possible?
Side guy, yeah.
Wow, that sounded weird. Is it possible he's not talking about the NFL?
Hold on a second. Now, don't get Rossi worked up into a lather about the XFL.
Well, and let's
this
be
is
honest,
what you need, by
he
the
is
way.
He is exactly what Vince would like
yes,
to have.
Yes, good call, Dale.
But this is what I was talking about with you and Steve. They're going to find somebody to be the poster boy that's going to make people want to watch that product over this AAF.
Now, the AAF
now,
has,
you're not going to make a bunch of money doing this.
You are not. But there's something called exposure bucks. Didn't Glenn Ordway try selling people on exposure dollars?
Bob Bradford also.
Oh, is he trying to?
He's the guy, yeah.
He's the king of that?
He's the king of exposure bucks.
Now, they have the Alliance of American Football. They have a lot of former NFL guys as their head coaches. You know, like Brad Childress, he's in there. Dennis Erickson, Mike Singletary, they're all in there. Rex Ryan would be a big name, but if Rex Ryan's the face of your league, then you're not going to be selling a lot of tickets.
No, but he's exactly the sort of thing that Vince would want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what Vince would want, is that kind of of, you know, stature, and I'm using the term advisedly.
Yes.
You know, he's been on national TV for a while.
Right.
You know, he's been a head coach in the NFL.
Think they'll do Hard Knocks?
Vince would
XFL?
Love that guy.
They should do like a Hard Knocks season with him. These are some of the best sound drops ever from the New York Jets season of Hard Knocks.
Smell him?
Yeah, you got a guy who likes feet. Put him out there.
Nothing
Let's
wrong
go to eat a goddamn snack.
I think it's very relatable. I think it's like 8% of the world has foot fetishes.
Yeah, we got no chance.
So they would relate to him. They would automatically like that team.
You mind if I touch them?
Sure.
I can touch them.
Yeah. Thank you. You're not hurting anybody. Go for it. Grab them. Give them a little tickle.
No, grab them.
Yeah, grab them.
Wow, they're like really soft.
Super soft.
Yeah, they're like really soft.
Now, yeah, so, if you were Rex.
Yeah.
And you had a chance to be, and let's say, a defensive coordinator in the NFL or a head coach in the XFL, you'd be a defensive coordinator, right?
I would be. Yeah, I think so. Even for him.
It's not even close.
No, I think so.
You're damn right.
Because I think there's still something to be said for that. You know, like Wade Phillips gets a lot of credit for the Rams, and when they play well defensively, like he still gets a lot of credit for it.
Do we think Rex was actually being cagey? When he said, you know, I'm probably going to be in football next year.
I'll probably get back into football next year.
Well,
he didn't say the NFL.
Yeah, but I think it's implied the NFL. Because,
well, no, that's what I thought when I first heard
no,
it.
No, but not only that, because he's saying, you know, if
I'm going to criticize Belichick.
Right, because if you're going to the XFL, criticize all the NFL guys you want. Like, go nuts. You can let a torch to the NFL if you want. That's not who you're going to be in the league with. So I think it's, hey, these are the coaches that I'm going to be going up against next season. And, you know, do you need any of that extra bulletin board material or whatever else? So I think it's clearly for the NFL.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers.
So this guy did he get his, like, staples? Remember, did he get, like, his tummy tucked or whatever? Then he was in Buffalo. His brother joined the staff, and he got him removed just so he could go eat more again.
I'm not a great leader.
That's real. What do they call that when you get, like, your stomach stapled or whatever?
We call it a Charlie Weiss.
A Charlie Weiss. So he got a Charlie Weiss, and then his brother, they were up there, and they wanted to eat so many wings. He's like, well, I can't eat all these wings, so I better get this removed.
I better go have another surgery.
So he reversed it just so he could have snacks all day with his fat brother.
Stomach stapling and then gastric bypass. Those are the two that people get. But he had his stomach stapled, and yes, they were removed.
Then he had them removed. Just so he could eat and drink with his buddy.
Yeah,
or his
limits
brother.
How much food you can hold in your stomach and tightens your intestines.
Yeah, but like, this isn't enough. Like, I've only had a few wings today. I need many more wings.
I need 54 more.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the wing capital of the world. You can't really blame them. But if you're going to go through that step, I feel like once you staple it up, like, that's you now.
F*** that. Well, if we play at our best, we will beat every team in this f***ing league playing at their best.
That is Vince McMahon's dream.
Yeah, he would like to have him. That's true.
Well, they sort of buried it yesterday on ESPN because when
I didn't even go there.
I'm walking by the set and I hear it and I go, whoa.
How do you not go there? How do you not circle back to that at the very least? Maybe you have to finish your Belichick segment, but how do you not go back to Rex Ryan?
Let's hear it again because it comes like out of nowhere and then he just keeps going. Like you said, they just don't touch it.
They would be getting crucified. He'd be getting killed. And guess what? You know what? I'll probably get back into football next year. And I don't care if I make everybody, you know, mad at me or whatever. I could care less. This is a huge mistake. You got to put somebody in there that can make a play in space.
It's actually not as much of a hot sports take as Rex thought because everybody said that it was a mistake.
Yeah, you'd know, be crazy not know, to.
I'll be the only one to do this. No, yeah. Everyone is saying it, right?
Although we just talked with Willie, and he wasn't sure about the personnel. So,
yeah.
I think it's okay to say that Belichick made a mistake. He did.
It's all right to say it.
Because he did. And this time it was
and
very
Rex,
clear.
Rex couldn't wait to tell people.
Rex is like, hey, guys, nobody else here will do it, so I will. And you're like, what? Everybody thought this was dumb. Every single person here, whether you were a former coach, player, or not, doesn't matter. But so Rex Ryan, do you think he'll be in the NFL next year?
No.
Okay. You think he'll be in the XFL next year?
I think that's more likely to me.
Oh. I think he's going to be a D coordinator because I think there's going to be a lot of teams that hire a super young offensive-minded guy that doesn't have head coaching experience and is so focused on offense that they need the double whammy. They need a guy who has head coaching experience but also can lead a defense all on his own. So some team that he'll be the perfect formula for them, and they'll have to pay him a ton of money, but they'll have him as the D coordinator. So that's my I don't know where. Maybe it's the Green Bay Packers. Who's to say? But I bet he's back in the league.
John Harbaugh went out of his way to say he ain't leaving Michigan. Jim Harbaugh said he's not leaving. So
Michigan probably wishes he would.
Yeah, I know.
They're probably, can't beat Ohio State.
Come on. So he's not going anywhere. So, you know, he's not going to bring Rex with him.
Right.
Which team needs a defensive coordinator that's going to want to bring Rex in? A guy who's probably going to, at some point or another, step on the toes of the head coach.
What about the Packers? Don't you think the Packers could have a whole retool situation?
And whoever that head coach is who gets that job.
Yeah.
You want this guy?
Yeah, see, I don't know what
being a mouthpiece over there.
Maybe. Maybe he takes the attention away from you if your offense isn't doing very well. But they need to try something different. I mean, they got to give Aaron Rodgers a decent defense, try to turn things around.
Maybe he thinks he's going to get the head job in Green Bay.
Oh, God. That won't happen.
Aaron Rodgers would veto that.
Yeah, that would not happen at all.
He'd say, you know what, it's time for me.
I would not give him a chance as a head coach. I would go right back and be like, hey, do you want to be one of these veteran D coordinators? Then great, and we'll pay you accordingly. But you could do better as a head coach for sure.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. And Greeny just sat there like, do-do-do.
He wasn't listening.
No.
He's like, when is it my turn to talk?
He was working on the next paragraph on his page.
Yeah. Like,
and, you know, I'll go there next because that's where we're going next. And it's people like me who heard it and did the double take, and ProFootballTalk.com that went and did the double take, who said, wait a minute.
Oh, by the way,
to get back into football next year.
There's a new opening, it looks like, Dale. According to
another one?
According to this is a coordinator job, though. According to NFL outsider Ian Rappaport, the Vikings have fired offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, who just a week ago they were saying on the broadcast, like, what a hot head coaching candidate he's going to be. Well, he has an early chance to go interview for all these jobs because they were so bad offensively against Seattle that you were talking about Don Zimmer complaining about the offense and saying, hey, you know, you'd think it'd be a little bit different. Because remember Dalvin Cook carving up the Patriots, and then they decide as an offense, let's not give him the ball anymore. Let's let Kirk Cousins just run around and throw it to nobody. So they've been bad all season. It's kind of surprising that it took this long for them to say goodbye. But John DeFilippo out.
You're getting rid of general managers, coordinators. You've gotten rid of some head coaches earlier in the year. But
yeah, a couple head coaches gone.
They've started a little early on the Black Monday purge.
Oh, yeah. Get that out of the way before Christmas even.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
If you don't mind me changing gears a little bit, what's your take on this little trip Don Sweeney to Edmonton, Alberta? From what I understand, Boston Globe put in a possible trade between Krug and Nugent Hopkins.
Yeah, now, they did. No, that was Kevin DuPont theorizing. You know, that be a deal that you would make?
I would make it if the Brust is not involved. If they want the Brusque as well, because that's also been mentioned, then I'd like all bets are off. But my question is, like, why would he go all the way to Edmonton? Couldn't he do this by phone?
He does this sort of thing all the time. I mean, it doesn't always get written up. It was somebody in the press box in Edmonton saw his name on the list and wrote about it. He's out looking at games and other teams all the time.
Okay,
Sorry, that was my mistake. Do I think Peter Chiarelli would like to make a move of some kind? Yes. Do I think he needs a puck-moving defenseman like Torrey Krug? Yes.
You could probably fleece him. He's going to train Connor McDavid at some point.
Not even Chiarelli would do that.
I would not rule it out. The Bruins aren't going to get Milan Lucic back, are they?
No.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's what Edmonton fans were rooting for. When they saw that Don Sweeney was in the press box there, they went, hey, you want Lucic back?
Well, that's where a lot of people's minds went. And I was like, no, that won't be a thing, will it?
Milan Lucic is now playing third and fourth line for the Edmonton Oilers. Not being paid like that.
No, he's rocking one goal in 30 games this year.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yikes.
I don't think you're going to step back in front of the Milan Lucic train.
No, thank you.
Tony's in Beverly. Hey, Tony.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I was listening to you. You were talking about whether, you know, the speculation on whether Babe Ruth could play in the pros right now.
Well, yes. It was a pitcher who suggested that
OPS be?
I don't know what his OPS was back then.
No. What do you think it would be now?
Oh, I don't know, but what I'd like to do is use some comparisons to other great athletes in history.
That'd be great.
Let's use Jesse Owens.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
His 100-meter time. Well, 100 yards.
No! No! Are you kidding me?
No, no. I wholeheartedly endorse. I did not motion. I did not motion for that, but I
Rossi, you're
I
out
endorse
of your mind.
It.
That guy,
how so?
That guy had, first of all,
he
the sweetest
the,
voice I have ever heard. He
about to that, to the, I will say.
Was that guy's voice amazing?
No, I don't think he had an accent when I talked to him.
Oh, you thought he was playing it up. But it was so deep and baritone-y, and it was like he was just drinking honey nonstop. That guy's voice was incredible. I could listen to him talk about whatever.
Well, that's what he was working on.
He called us
about
Babe Ruth.
Forever.
What was he calling about Babe Ruth for?
If Babe Ruth played today.
Yeah, but then I asked him about it. He goes, I don't know. It's like, well, you called us about it.
Yeah, but then he wanted
you asked him about the OPS. You go, I don't know. And then he had a player's comparison. Are you serious?
He wanted to go to the Jesse Owens
100 time.
100-yard time.
Aren't you fascinated to know where he was going to go from there?
No.
Rossi, that is poor instincts.
I think that's the best call I've made all day.
Well, that also may be true.
Okay.
Yeah.
His 100-meter time.
Oh, no!
Because you were then.
Oh, no! I love that guy.
You were really interested in his 100-meter time.
Yes! I wanted to know where he was going with it. He called, obviously, he took time out of his day. He's probably on his lunch break. He goes, I got to get in there and get some sweet Babe Ruth takes. I looked up Jesse Owens' 100 time. I bet he didn't know that off the top of his head. He did some research. He was probably going to blow our minds. Instead, Rossi hangs up on him.
You know, the speculation on whether Babe Ruth could play in the pros right now.
Listen to that voice.
He's whispering at work. That's what it's happening.
Yeah, there's stuff going on.
What was his OPS be?
I don't know what his OPS was back then.
No. What do you think it would be now?
Oh, I don't know, but what I'd like to do.
That guy's voice was amazing. Rossi, unbelievable.
Maybe I got enough for you. I can get this for you.
No, Tony, call my personal cell and we'll talk off the air.
Why don't you give that out? Why don't you give that out?
Yeah, you can figure it out.
You can just give him a call later and see how it goes.
Please, just make sure you're all right. Let me know.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Noon 30 today, we've got Kiefer Madness coming your way. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.